Following a mandala on a day is the beginning of a new perek, the last perek in Shoita, Egla Rufa. So we know the basic concept in Egla Rufa, the pasuk says the end of Parshas Shoftim, that you find a dead body in the field, you don't know who killed him. Then you measure to the nearest city, and the nearest city has to bring a calf, and they chop off its neck in a valley in a Nachal Esam, which we'll talk about tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and the Zkenim declare Yadinu LeShofos Adam Azeh, the Kohenim declare Kafir Lam Yisrael, and when Kafir Lam Adam, the Eved forgives them for the guilt that's involved in the fact that a Yid was killed in their jurisdiction. Later on, if they find the Ritzeach, then Taka, we learn later in the Paris, then you do execute him. And in fact, there are different Achronim talk about different reasons behind the idea of Egla Rufa. One of them, that Rambam says, and a number of other Mephoroshim follow suit, that basically the idea is you make this whole publicity about it, the measuring, the bringing the Egla Rufa and whatever. It's a very unusual thing. Like this, everybody will be gathered over there, and if anybody has any lead on who the murderer was, then they'll be able to bring that to the attention of the Beis Din, and it'll be taken care of.
Two bodies or three bodies.
So the Rambam says you do each separately for each one, where you measure for each one, and then you bring a separate Egla Rufa. We'll talk about it in the Gemara, actually, the case of two bodies. Wait. Okay. Egla Rufa of Lashon HaKodesh, so the statements that are said there by the Egla Rufa have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Shenemar ki yimotze chol ba'adamah, the Pasuk says if you find a dead body in the land that the Eved has given you, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, the Pasuk continues, v'yotze, how you get from that, that it's in Lashon HaKodesh, the Gemara we'll talk about. The Pasuk continues, v'yotze z'kenecha v'shev kecha, that your zekenim and your shoftim should go out. What does that mean? Shloshim, based in Agadav Shira Shalayim, how you go to? It means to start with, to measure from the body to the nearest city, three members from the Beis Din HaGadol, from the Great Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, come out to do that measuring. Rabbi Yehuda and Chamisha, Rabbi Yehuda says five. Shenema, Zekeinecha Shnayim, V'Shevtecha Shnayim, as the Pasuk says, you elders, which the minimum plural is two. It says, your Shoftim is another two. So that's, so they're up to four. The Ein Beis Din Shokol, and as a general rule, a Beis Din cannot be composed of an even number of people, because in case that you don't want it to be deadlocked, you want that in case there's an argument between the Dayanim, that you have somebody to break the tie. So therefore, it's different. I don't know that, so therefore you have to add a fifth one, and that's how you get up to five. That's how you get up to five, according to the word. So yes, it does have to be members of the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim. Well, boys, we're learning Torah over here. Shh, please. Continues the mission. A nymph of Tomun Bagal, if you find, there's one idea why you have to have the Beis Din HaGadol involved. Is the whole idea is the fact that you found a dead body over there, the fact that somebody killed somebody and you don't know what happened over here is a serious thing. Yes, the Beis Din HaGadol, the national Beis Din, has to be involved over here in finding out. Yeah. If you find the body buried in a heap of stones, or hanging on a tree, or it's floating on the water, or the Gemara will talk about it, if it's lying on top of something else, not directly on the ground, then you don't do the Egla Rufa for such cases. Shouldn't have a Ba'ad Dhamma, as the Pasuk says, that you find the body on the ground, which implies, if it's not in the ground as in buried, it has to be on the ground. Noifel, when it says that it's falling, so that the body is fallen dead, implying v'leitoli v'ilin, not if it's hanging on a tree. V'leit v'sodan, when it says in the field, implies v'leit sofof ne'amayim, not if it's floating on the surface of the water. Next, nimsa samach l'sfar, if you find the body close to the border of Eretz Yisrael, or l'irsha ruba o'kikavim, or you find it near a city which is mostly goyim, or l'irsha ein ba'beis din, or near a city that does not have a beis din in it, lo'yoya ofin, then they did not do the Egla Rufa. If you find it close to the border, or near a goyish city, the reason is the Gemara is going to say krak l'matsui. That's only if it's an unusual situation. When it's near the border, it's likely that somebody sneaked across, somebody infiltrated, some goyim infiltrated across the border and killed him. If it's near a city with goyim, that's mostly goyim, again, it's logical to assume that one of them did it. You don't want to assume, unless you have no choice, that a yid did such a thing. Having said that, when we say over here, shirubo over the kachavim, the Yerushalmi actually has the version sheyeshva over the chavim, that if it's near a city that has goyim in it, even if the goyim are less than the majority, even if it's a minority, still it's very likely it's attributable to them. And also when we say loyal open, that you don't do the eglar rufa, though the Bach changes that to moididin. Not that you don't do the eglar rufa at all in that case. You just don't measure to a city that has goyim or no beis din or whatever. You ignore that city and measure to the other nearby cities to see which one is the next one. Loyal open means they wouldn't bring an eglar rufa at all. Loyal moididin means that you don't measure to that city, but rather you ignore that city. So you have, you know, the mess is found over here. You have city 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One of them does not have a base stick. So you ignore that city for purposes of measurement and measure to see what's the next closing city. Okay. And the Mishnah finishes off, in Moedidin el ala ir sheyesh b'base stick. You only measure to a city that has a base stick. Now, what is that adding? The Gemara will talk about. So you ask my caller. What exactly is the Mishnah saying when it says Eglah Rufa B'Loshan HaKodesh, because it says Ki Yimotei Chol Ba'adjama? How does that tell anything about Loshan HaKodesh? Amar Rav Abba, Hochi Kamar, what the Mishnah means is like this. The reason why it has to be Loshan HaKodesh, hello, Shenema V'Onu, because the Pasuk says that they should speak up and say, Yodeinu L'Shavchu, V'Onu V'Omru, Ulahal No'im V'Onu Alevim V'Omru V'Gremu, by the Levim, by the Levim over there, by Hagrizim and Harevel, it says V'Onu V'Omru, they should speak up and say, so it's a Gzeira Shavu, just like by Hagrizim and Harevel, the declarations were made in the Berachas and Klolos were done in Lashon Kodesh, so also here it has to be done in Lashon Kodesh. And then, the Seder, Egla, Arufa, Ketzah, then the Mishnah is continuing. Now, what's the actual order? How is the Egla, Arufa accomplished? It starts off, Ki Yimotei Chol Ba'adjama, you find a dead body on the ground, V'yotuz Kenefa V'Shevtecha, that then the elders and the Shoftim come out, Shloshim Beis Din HaGadol, Shabbat Yerushalayim HaYotzin, that the Tanakhama says, you send out three members of the Beis Din HaGadol. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chamisha Chulah, then Rabbi Yehuda had said in the Mishnah that it's not three, but rather five. Turn it up on him. What's the machlokes? The pasuk says v'yotzes kenecha b'sheftecha. It says your elders and your judges should come out. Therefore, it's a kenecha shtayim. The word the kenecha means two. B'sheftecha shtayim. The word sheftecha also means two. The ain't based in shokol. And as we said in the Mishnah, you can't have an even number of people in a beis din. Even when it comes to the measurement, you could have the different dayonim might argue on the exact. You know, have we measured exactly or whatever? You still need somebody to break the chai. So therefore, Meisifna, Leino Dechot, you have to add one more. Harei Kan Chamisha Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. That's where we get five. Rabbi Shimon, because it cannot be an even number. Rabbi Shimon. That's what I'm saying. They could argue on the measurement. You're taking a rope and measuring, but it's possible to argue. Did you do the measurement right? Did you measure from the right part of the body? We'll learn later on Mem Hei Omer Beis what part of the body you're supposed to measure from. There can be an argument within that itself. So you need somebody to break the tie. That was Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, who is the Tanakhama of our mission, and says, no, the Kenecha Shnayim, if all we have is the word the Kenecha, which means your elders, the Ein Beis Din Shokol, and since the Beis Din cannot be an even number, Mosifin Alein Oidachot, you add one more, Harekan Shloisha, so you're three. Hey, but Rabbi Shimon Nami Yaksu B'Sheftecha, what is Rabbi Shimon doing with the word B'Sheftecha? The answer is, when we boil them, you chodin shebeshevtecha. He says that means it has to be the special one among your judges. It can't just mean judges from any random based in Eretz Yisrael. It has to be the highest based in, the based in HaGadol. That's what we learn from Shevtecha. So you can't use that to say that you need another two. Rabbi Yehuda, what would Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He would say, Mizikne zikenecha now. So fine, he learns that. You don't need the word shevtecha for that. You could learn that because the prophet could have said, v'yotu zikne, and instead it says, v'yotu zikenecha. So the Langachos adds that we learn from that it has to be the special Zakanim, your Zakanim of the national Sanhedrin, and therefore we have the word Shevtecha available to teach you that you need another Jew. Yeah. I mean, Zakanim literally means elders, and the Gemara is going to talk about that in a second, but yeah, Zakin, Zesh, Langachos, yeah. Rabbi Shimon, what does Rabbi Shimon answer to that? He says, look, he calls Rahman a Zikne. Yes, the problem is if the Torah only said the word Zikne, it was Zikanim, let's say it didn't say the word Shoftim at all. Havamin after the Zikne Hashuk. Then you would think it doesn't have to mean Zikne over here, maybe it doesn't mean elders as in Tamar Chachamim. Maybe it just means elder, any elders off the street, as long as they're old people. Maybe that's all you need. Maybe you need old people. Or, okay, Mepharshim talk about maybe Zikne Hashuk doesn't literally mean like off the street, but maybe it means the Kehim from any base, and not necessarily from the base in Agado. Therefore, the Pasuk has to say Zekenecha. You can't say, you have the Chof of Zekenecha to say that it means Zafka the base in Agado, because you need a Bechlaw to say that it means the members of a Sanhedrin. and the ikos rachmanas zekenecha, and furthermore, if the Torah only wrote zekenecha, hava amin afilu sanhedrin ktana, then you would think maybe it's good enough if you have members from a sanhedrin ktana, from one of the local based in the 23 members that you have in all the cities of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, kasa rachmanas v'shev techa, therefore the pasuk adds, and your judges, meaning the miyuchad and v'shev techa, that it teaches you it has to be the special one of the special ones among your judges. So the ones from the base in our gavel. So therefore, you don't have anything available to teach us an extra two dayanim. Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? Goma zikne zikne mi zikne ha'eda. Fine, but he says instead, never mind that, I have a zeda shabbat. The word zikne means the elders of the Sanhedrin and not just any old people. We learn it by zeda shabbat from zikne ha'eda, where they have the din about, hello, the din about par helam dava shal tzibur, where the Sanhedrin, the national Sanhedrin, it is Dafka, has made a mistake in halacha, and most of the Jewish people follow it, which is the subject, which is one of the subjects of Masechta Hodias. But then, if the national Sanhedrin makes a mistake in halacha, and they pass in for they have to be something that zonei kardes v'shigurat echatas, something that if you did it b'mezid you'd be high kardes, and if you did it b'shergig you'd have to bring a chatas, for example Shabbos or chaylev or dam or whatever, a bunch of examples. If they passed it wrongly and most of the Jewish people followed it, then when they realize their mistake, a korban is brought on behalf of the whole Jewish people. When we say every morning in davening, that's what we mean by parim anistrofim. That's one example of the parim anistrofim is this parhelam davashal tzibur. So there the pasuk uses the word zikne, the sabcho zikne or eda tigehem. So malahalam yuchodin shveida, just like over there, it doesn't just mean any old kainim, it means specifically the ones from the base of Haggadah, which that we know because the pasuk says, that has to be the eyes of the eda, which means the eyes of the whole Jewish people, which is the Sanhedrin. So automatically we know over here that zikne means ones from the base in our gadol. So it's zikne shabbat. You don't need the word shetecha to teach us that. Therefore, you have shetecha available to teach you that you need an extra two. Okay, the question is, gomer, fine. If you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda is darshaning that is using that kavah chomer of zikne, looking real cool and milsim also. So then if he's using the Zeta Shabbat, Zikne, then he can learn the whole thing from there. In connection with the Parahelam Dabashal Tzibur, there's also a machloik, because how many Dayanim, the Pasuk says that the Dayanim have to lean their hands on the animal. As usual, when you put in Korban, you do Smicha. Usually the owner of the Korban does Smicha. In this case, the Beis Din is doing it on behalf of the whole Jewish people. How many of them does it need to be? Rabbi Yehuda says five. So then, if we're learning by Zeta Shabbat, then already we know five automatically from that. We don't need our chop of Zekenecha and the word Shetecha. Zekenecha v'Shetecha l'amali. So what do you need? The word, the chop of Zekenecha and the word Shetecha over here. Hell or no. So let's take that back. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda is not using the Zeta Shabbat of the word Zikne. He didn't learn that from his Rebbeim. We assume, the Gemara assumed, we learned it from our Rebbeim, therefore we could use that. Evidently, Rabbi Yehuda didn't, so therefore he can't use that Zeta Shabbat. No, so where taka is he getting that the word shevtecha is teaching us an extra two dayanim? Vav, v'shevtecha l'minyana. Because he says, the Pasuk could have said, zatu zikenecha shevtecha, or zikne shevtecha, or whatever. The fact that it adds a vav, v'shevtecha l'minyana, comes to teach us that the word shevtecha is teaching us an extra two people. Vav Shimon, vav l'mashmalei, where's Rav Shimon? Doesn't hold that you learn that from that, from the... No, so... The vav, come on, we're not talking about gematria, we're talking about the fact that the vav is it's an extra particle of the pasuk. Therefore, we can use it to teach us that the word shevtecha is teaching us too. But Rav Shimon, vav loy mashmalei, whereas Rav Shimon doesn't hold that the vav is teaching us that extra, or in the side over here it says loy dorish, Rav Shimon would darish an extra vav in some other places, but here he doesn't hold that vav is meant to darish anything extra. Therefore, he says that we ignore the extra vav. The fact that it said shetecha teaches us that they have to be miyuchadim shebe shetecha, the special ones, the ones from the base in Agadah. Therefore, I only have available two is the kenecha, and therefore you only add one more in order to break the time. Because he said ma'ikam rachmanam miyuchadim shebe shetecha, that the word shetecha just means the unique ones among your shefti. So now, if you're darshaning the pasuk this way, if you're saying that zekenecha means two, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, shevtecha means another two, let's take another. Let's look at it this way. The yosu shnayim, the pasuk starts off by saying they go out, which should also mean two, they meaning minimum two, umadadu shnayim, and then it says they should measure. So now, on the face of it, each of those should also be adding an extra two. Rabbi Yehuda Harei Kan Tisha, Rabbi Shimon Harei Kan Shiva. So now you're up to 9 according to Rabbi Yehuda, 2 each from Zekenecha, Shevtecha, V'yotzu, and Umadadu, and 7 according, and then 1 to break the tie, and 7 according to Rabbi Shimon, because you would ignore Shevtecha. And we know it's not so. We know it's 5 or 3, respectively. Fine, but you could, the Pasuk could have said, the Pasuk could have, first of all, the Pasuk didn't have to say the Yotsu, for example. Obviously, if they're measuring, if they're going out to the city, then if they're going to the city, obviously they're going out from the base in Agadol, it doesn't have to say the Yotsu, nor does it have to say Umadadu, because if the Pasuk just saying, it's just saying that you need the closest city, obviously, how are you going to figure out which is the closest city? You've got to measure. So it didn't have to say anything. It could have said, Uva'u Zekeinecha V'shetecha, V'hoya Irakshu Eve'el Acholol. Let's say it doesn't have to say anything about the measuring. The answer is no. Hahumi boile lechidatanya? No, because we need those words for other limudim, for what we learn in a braisa. V'yotsu means hein v'lo shluchehen. The word v'yotsu means they themselves have to go, they cannot send a shliach. There is a different girsa over here that some Rishonim have that actually it's the other way around. It's the other way around, that it could be that you could send shluchim. And v'yotsu means they themselves can go or they can send shluchim. A different gear, so yeah. Umadru, and when the pasuk continues, they should measure. It means shafilu nimsa ba'alu la'ir. Even if you find the body very close to the city, so it's blatantly obvious that this is the closest city. Nevertheless, hoyu moedidin, they still have to measure. Shemitzvah lasik b'medida, because it's still a mitzvah to do the measuring. Why? The Chizkuni on the pasuk gives a reason, because since we're saying, according to the Rambam, the whole idea behind the whole Egla Arufa is to make a whole publicity out of it, so that if anybody has any leads on the case, they can come forward. So like this, the measuring also helps make it a public thing. Everybody sees that the base in three or five members from the base in Agadol are going and measuring using ropes to find the closest city. It makes a big to-do about it. So even if they know this is the closest city, but yeah. Mishnah says, "Asnis and Deloitre Belazim and Yaakov." Now, evidently, okay, so that establishes then how we know 3 or 5 respectively. The Rambam, by the way, Paskins like Rabbi Huda and Mefarshim have the notes that came with the Rambam have a bit of time discussing why. Usually the halacha ought to be like the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, Stam Mishnah. And basically, they give the answer because in the Sefer Sanhedrin, it also talks about this, and they mention that we have the opinions of Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon. So therefore we can say that we go according to the Mishnah over there. Rabbi Huda against Rabbi Shimon, the halacha is like Rabbi Huda. They talk about whether there's a seder or the Mishnah, whether we call it stambach, kach machlokas, does it apply when it's across two different tzedarim, or is seder noshim? So that's the question. In other words, we learn the Nivamis, and if you have a stam Mishnah, and later on you have a machlokas, it means the halacha is not like the stam Mishnah, but does that apply across tzedarim? Do we say that necessarily noshim is before nizikin, the way we learn it, or lav davka? Maybe there's a different order in which nizikin could come before noshim. So they discuss all that. It goes by the order of the masechtas. So with masechtas within a seder, we say ain seder or mishnah. They're not necessarily in the order in which we have them. Okay, Nasnitz and Dolech Rabbi Lozman Yaakov. Our mishnah evidently does not know like Rabbi Lozman Yaakov, the Tanya, because we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Lozman Yaakov, remember? But no, actually, the word zekenecha yes means zu Sanhedrin. It means the Sanhedrin. But sheftecha, when the pasuk continues, your judges, doesn't mean more members of the Sanhedrin, like Rabbi Huda said, or the members of the national Sanhedrin, like Rabbi Shimon said. No, zemelech v'kohen gadol. It means that actually the king and the kohen gadol have to show up over here. Melech, how do we know melech is called a shofet? Just in melech b'mishpat yamidaret. So the pasuk says a king upholds the world with justice. And the Kohen Gadol, but he is, to a certain extent, he's able to judge Dinei Malchus. When you have somebody, as the Rambam describes, for example, if you have a person who can't be executed by Beis Din because the rules of evidence, for example, haven't been met, but the king knows for a fact that he did it, then he has the right to execute him extrajudicially. So it supersedes, yeah. As an emergency measure, Dine Malchus, yeah. You find throughout Tanakh that the king sits in judgment over the people. Because, by the Beis Din, you have certain rules of evidence. The king can judge without them not needing those rules. He can judge according to what's needed to uphold order in the country. Kohen Gadol, how do we see that a Kohen Gadol is called a shofet? Dichtiv uvasel a Kohenim alavim. The pasuk says you should come to the Kohenim alavim, ve'el a shofet hashayiv agomer, and to the shofet who is at that time. Where the shofet, in other words, implies, since we're mentioning him in connection with the Kohenim alavim, then it implies means the Kohen Gadol. So we see the Kohen Gadol is called a shofet. Okay, now, Iboilu, so now, since our Mishnah doesn't mention anything about the Melech or the Kohen Gadol, then evidently it's not like him. Question is, is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov only arguing and saying you must have the king and the kohen gadol there, aval the Sanhedrin, ikud of Yehuda, ikud of Shimon Tzvirle? But as far as the number of members of the Sanhedrin that have to be there, he holds either like Rabbi Shimon that you need three, or like Rabbi Yehuda that you need five. Or maybe not. The Sanhedrin nami polig. Maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is actually arguing about the number of members of the Sanhedrin. Adi itzakula Sanhedrin. Maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would hold it's not just enough to have three or five of them. You need the entire Sanhedrin to go there. So what is it? Amar Rabbi Yosef Toshma. Come, we can prove it from a Mishnah or a Braita in Sanhedrin. It's talking over there about, and in Sanhedrin it talks about the din of Zokin Mamre. We talked about Zokin Mamre before. The Sanhedrin, the Beis Din HaGadol, has decided something in Halacha, whether it's a new Gzeder or Takana, or whether it's a, they dash in something with the Yudgum Amidus, Shachar, and the Yashar Spam, whatever it is exactly, they decided the Halacha is a certain way. A certain time in Chacham disagrees with them. He goes back home and paskin against what they decided. Then he's Chayiv Mitzvah. He's a Zokin Mamre and he's Chayiv Mitzvah. So it says over there, Matzah, as the Braisa says, Matzah and Zokin Mamre a Beit Pagi. If the Zokin Mamre finds the Sanhedrin out in Beit Pagi basically actually says he's the outskirts of Yerushalayim. It's within the walls, but it's outside the Harabayis. The Sanhedrin sits in the Lishkas Sagosis in Harabayis. So if he finds them over there, and they decide something on the spot over there, a bunch of them are standing over there in Beit Pagi, and they decide the halacha, the himra aleh, and he went against what they said. So he asked them the halacha over there, or somebody else asked them, whatever. They said what the halacha is. He disagrees with that and goes back home and paskins accordingly. You would think that is considered that makes him a zokin mamri. No, Talmud Loimer, but come to Vali, so I'm not. No, the pasuk says in connection with zokin mamri, you should get up and go to the place. Meaning, Malamacham Malcolm Gurda, meaning that the place is the crucial detail, the place which is meant for their judging, namely Lishkas HaGadol. So only if the Sanhedrin is in Lishkas HaGadol is their psak considered the kind of psak that therefore if he violates it, if he passes against it, he's considered a Zakin Mamre.
They have to be all sitting?
That's what we're gonna get to, whether they have to all be sitting in a minute, but wait. So now we have to ask the Nofuk Kama. Now let's ask. When we're saying that he went and found them in Beit Pagi, how many of them let's say we're assuming that they're on their way out of Yerushalayim to go someplace? How many of them are there over there? You're going to tell me that maybe only some of them went out? Then of course it's not considered Hamra. Of course if he goes against what they passed in there on the spot, right, it wouldn't be. Because maybe the ones who are still back in the Lushkas HaGadol would agree with him. You have 71 members of the Sanhedrin. Let's say he finds 20 of them in Beit Pagi. They all disagree with him. Very nice, but there's still 51 back in Lushkas HaGadol. Maybe if he were to ask them, they would agree with him. How could you even think to make him a Zokin Mamre because he disagreed with what 20 or 25 or whatever it is? So obviously we must be talking about that all of them went out. Okay, the Aruch HaNer asks the question, why don't we say that maybe the majority of them went out? He and another Achronim talk about, because even if you have a majority over there in Beit Pagi, nevertheless, you still could argue that if they were all together, all 71 of them together, were together, nevertheless, they could still, though the minority might convince the majority to change their mind. But only if you have all of them. No, that's what we're saying over here, not necessarily. We're saying that if he finds a bunch of them in Beit Pagi, and then he asks them the halacha, and they say, that's not considered binding insofar as Zokin Mamre.
But they don't have to
yeah, until they actually take a vote. Yeah. Okay, so obviously we must be talking about that all of them are there. Now, Ulamai, now we have to ask, why would all the Sanhedrin be there in Beit Pagi at one time? Did they just go out because for an optional thing, just because they all felt like going on a picnic? Are they all allowed to go out? But during the time when the Beis Din is in session, during the hours when the Sanhedrin is supposed to be in session, there always has to be a quorum, there always has to be a minimum number of people there. We have a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says, Shorerech Haganah Sahar, your navel is like a round bowl. Al yefsar hamozeg, the mozeg should not be missing. So this is mozeg literally means like the mixing of wine, like you dilute wine, two or three parts of water to one of wine. What we darshan that the shorereich means the Sanhedrin. They're considered the navel, because first of all, like a baby gets its nourishment through its navel, through its umbilical cord. We get our nourishment of Torah through the Sanhedrin, because they pass in the halacha for us. And also because the Beis Hamikdash is in the middle of the world, like the navel is in the middle of the body. So therefore, so we're saying that the Sanhedrin is like a gan hasahar, is like a round bowl, which is where we learn the concept that the Sanhedrin would sit in a semicircle, so in a round shape. And what does it mean? Al yechzer hamozeg, that the mozeg should not be missing. Sheim nitzrach echad mehem lotzis. If one of the members of the Sanhedrin has to leave the lishkas hagozis, im yeshem etzim ushloisha keneged Sanhedrin tana. If there's at least 23 members left, which is the size of a Sanhedrin tana, yotze, then he's allowed to leave. V'im lav any yotze. If not, then he's not allowed to leave. How do we learn that from al yechzer hamozeg? There's a couple of different ways of learning it. Rashi and Tosfos discuss it in a few places in Shas. One of them is that mozeg means diluting wine. Wine in those days was usually diluted, as we've learned in various places, usually two parts of water to one of wine. So therefore, mozeg then means one-third. One-third of the Sanhedrin of 71 is 23, yet a fraction. So therefore, we learn from that that there can't be less than mozeg. There can't be less than one-third of the full Sanhedrin, namely 23. Another way of looking at it, Tosfos brings in some places, is mozeg is the gematria of 50, mem, zayin, gimel. So it means there can't be 50 members of the Sanhedrin missing, because then you'd be down to 21. You could have 49 missing, because then you'll have 22. Again, ain-based in shuffle, you'll never have an even number of dayanim. So if they have, if it so happens at one time they only have 22 members in the chamber, then fine, they'll promote somebody temporarily from one of the talmidim or something and make them the 23rd so that they have a full complement. So therefore, 49 could leave, but 50, mozeg cannot. I'll yes it, I'm mozeg. So that's to be at least a third or at least 20, whatever. It has to be at least 23 is the point.
23.
That's what I'm saying. Is a third of 69? Okay, but rounding it up, I mean, it would be 23 two-thirds. You have two-thirds of a person there. Okay. So it can't be that during the time when Beis Din is supposed to be in session that all 71 of them have left, because it's not allowed to. You always have to have 23 there. So obviously we must be talking about that why would the whole Sanhedrin be in Beis Pagi? They must be going for a Dvar Mitzvah. Lamai, now what kind of a Dvar Mitzvah would require the presence of all 71 members of the Sanhedrin? Lav Lamedidus, Egla, wouldn't it be for the measuring to the nearest city in case connection with an Egla Rufa? Rav Elazman Yaakov, and that would go according to Rav Elazman Yaakov. Which would prove, we were asking, does Rav Elazman Yaakov hold that, we said, does Rav Elazman Yaakov hold that you need the whole Sanhedrin there, or does he say you only need 3 or 5 plus the Melech on the Torah level? From this we see, evidently, what kind of other case would there be where all 71 are going out in our base Pagi for a Dvar Mitzvah? Must be they're on their way to measure for an Egla Rufa. And that could only be according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, because according to Rav Shimon, you only need 3, and according to Rav Yehuda, you only need 5. That would prove that according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, all 71 of them are supposed to go.
This time
it was in the city. You're trying to bring an Egla Rufa anyway. The point is, no matter where they found them, that when we say Beis Pagi, the Chiddush is even Beis Pagi, which is right adjacent to the Har HaBayis, right inside the walls of Yerushalayim, even that is no good
so
because you want
to
tell. They're on their way to wherever. They're on their way to the city where they... Okay, Amalei Abaya, Loi. So Abaya says not necessarily. You could say there's another case of a Dvar Mitzvah where the whole Sanhedrin goes to it.
Not necessarily.
It could be that they're going in order to add to the size of Yerushalayim or to the size of the Azara. The Mishnah and the Gemara in Masechta Shavuos described the whole ceremony that they would do if the Sanhedrin decided that they should expand the size of the Azara. Then they're able to, and now that expansion now has the full kedusha of the Azara. You can eat a bunch of talim there. Tmeim are not allowed to go in there, etc. Similarly, they can expand the borders of Yerushalayim as far as the dinim that kachim talim can be eaten in the expanded area. Mitzrayim can't go in, etc. But it needs, there's a whole ceremony, and it involves the presence of the entire Sanhedrin. We learn it actually from Sukkim in Nehemiah, which describes such a ceremony at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. It's called Lahoritzit Alayir Valazaris. It's called adding to the size of the city or the size of the Azaris. Chidisnana, we learn in a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. In Nehemiah describes the ceremony, how they actually did it, but that was when they were rededicating the walls of Yerushalayim at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash. The Gemara explains that actually wasn't for the purpose that we're talking about over here. For one thing, they didn't have the Urim B'Tumim, and you need that as well. So that was more of a symbolic thing, that they're rededicating Yerushalayim as a holy city. Whether historically there was ever actually a time when they did that, basically, maybe in the time of the first Beis Mikdash.
Could enlarge the Azara?
Yeah, you can enlarge the Azara anywhere on the surface of the Har HaBayis. And you can enlarge the and you can enlarge the city of Yerushalayim as large as they feel necessary. You can only do that with a basin of 71, and all of them have to be present for the ceremony. So therefore, that's another dry mitzvah that all of them could be going for, where therefore you found them in base pagi, you found them inside Yerushalayim, so they're on their way to go to the walls to do the ceremony. So you can't prove from that that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say that all of them have to be there. However, the Gemara says, Tanya kabasei de Rabbi Yosef, we do learn a braisa according to what Rabbi Yosef assumed, that in fact the mitzvah that we're talking about is for measuring for the Egla Rofa. The Motzen HaBeis Pagi, the Braisa said that if the Zokin found the Sanhedrin in Beis Pagi, the Himra Aleihen, and he disagreed with their psak, and what's the case, we found them in Beis Pagi, going to Yotzalim did it for Egla, for example, they're going out to do the measurement for Egla Rofa, or like Abaya suggested that they're going to enlarge the city of the Azara. Yocholte Hamra sa Hamra, so you would think in that case that his Hamra is a Hamra, and he's now a Zokin Mamrin. Hamadlame will come to Vali, so Malam Hacham Bacham Gorim. So the point is, we see that both Rabbi Yosef. So it has to be the number and the place. But the point is, we see from this last brisa that both Rabbi Yosef and Abaya's possibilities are valid possibilities. Yes, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azar, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. If you have a measurement of an egla rofa, then yes, all 71 have to go for that. That's therefore a case where this hypothetical zaken mamre could meet them, and also the case of Lahoisef al Yirva Lazarus that Abaya mentioned. So yes, that proves that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say that all 71 of them have to be there. Okay. Mishnah continues, Nimsa Tomun Bagal, if you find the body buried inside a heap of stones, a toled b'ilun, or hanging on a tree, then we say you don't bring an egla rofa. The Gemara is going to have a discussion now relating this whole din to a different din that involves things that are hidden, namely the din of shikha. The Torah says, when you're harvesting your crops, if you forget a sheaf of grain in the field, or also the din is if you forget and you don't harvest some of the grain, you forget and leave some of it still standing, then you're not allowed to keep it, it has to go to the aniyim.
So,
you can't take it, you can't go back to take it, you have to leave it for the aniyim. Should we say that our Mishnah about the case where the body is buried inside a heap of stones that was saying you don't bring an egel arufa, that seems to be according to only Rabbi Yehuda, not the Chachamim, in the case of Shikha. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says v'shachachta oimer basada, that you forget a bundle of grain in the field, prat l'tamun, that comes to exclude the case where it was hidden underneath something. Because basada, according to the Tanakhama, basada means that it is right there on the surface, that it's right there on the surface of the field. So therefore, if it's buried, then not. Jibri Rabbi Yehuda. That's the Rabbi Yehuda. Jibri Rabbi Yehuda. Vacham, remember, basada the Rabbis is a Talmud. The Rabbanan say the other way around. The word basada comes to include the case where basada literally means inside the field. So you have to bury under the surface of the field. If you forgot it, it would still be considered sheikha. So then, in our Mishnah, where we're saying that Baal Dama means Zavka on the surface of the ground, not buried in stones or what have you, that seems to be only a coincidence of Yehuda. If I care, you could say that it means that even if you find it buried, it's still Baal Dama and you still bring Egel Arofa.
As long as it's not in the ground.
No, a coincidence of Chacham, even if it is in the ground, in the case of Shekha. Why shouldn't we say the same thing in our Mishnah?
We're under a pile of stone here.
Doesn't matter, stones, ground, whatever. The point, Tomun just means buried.
In the ground, or whatever.
No, you could say that our Mishnah is even according to the Rabbanan, because Hacham in Yonah Dekra, Hacham in Yonah Dekra, because in each place, you have to look at the context where the word Ba'adama or Ba'asadeh is being used. Namely, in the case of Egla Rofa, Dichtiv, Ki, Masei, Chol, the Pasuk says, if you find a dead body, which means Hechad Meshtakach, so therefore, it has to be someplace where it's likely to be found. Baal Dama, Prat L'Tamun. Therefore, we can say the word Baal Dama means as opposed to where it's buried, where nobody may ever find it. V'chasem in Yonah Dekra, whereas in the case of Shikha, you look at the context of the pasuk. V'chdiv kisikset tzircha b'sadecha. It says if you harvest your harvest in the field, v'shachachta oimer, and you forget a bundle of grain, which means Shikha dumya d'katzir. So therefore, the Shikha has to be according to the Yehuda. Has to be just like the katsir, just like the harvest. Not katsir, but gullery. No, so you would think, rather. You would think that shikha dumi the katsir, that the thing that you forget, which now has to go to the enyim, has to be similar to katsir, because it puts them together in the pasuk. Therefore, my katsir, but gullery, just like the grain which is being harvested, is uncovered. It's not hidden. af shikha begadah, you would think maybe shikha only applies to an uncovered bundle of grain. Therefore, the pasuk has to add the word basada, according to the chachamim, to mean to also add the case where it's buried under other bundles or under rocks or what have you. Okay. The question is, Rabbi Yehuda nami typical meshicha domi dekatsu. Fine. According to Rabbi Yehuda, then why do you need the word basada to teach us that it can't be buried? Learn it from the fact that shicha is juxtaposed with katsu, and you don't need the word basada for it. The answer is Einochinami. That's true. That is indeed true. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't need that limud. The Ela, the Sade Lomali. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, why do you need the word Basade? Lodamas Shikhas Kama. Because it comes to include also, like we just said, not only if the pasuk mentions only Omer, a bundle of already harvested grain, that you forget it, we have to add also the case where you forgot to harvest some of the grain. And then you turn away from it, and now it's behind you. Where that's also considered Shikha. The word Basade teaches us that. The Sadcha rather teaches us that. Basade rather teaches us that it applies not only to the harvested grain but also the unharvested grain that you forgot.
Why
you wouldn't know? The pasuk says it's a shachata omer basade. You forget a sheaf of grain in the field, meaning that's already
harvested or not?
Yeah, no, only no. A sheaf by definition is harvested already. It's already harvested. It's already been bundled together in a bundle. In order to know shachas kama, you know. Rabbanon shikhas kama v'nolahu. Fine, where did Rabbanon learn this concept of that shikha applies also to the standing grain? They hold it from the fact that they learn it from the fact that the pasuk says if you harvest, your harvest in the field. So the double expression teaches us that it also applies to what you haven't harvested yet. What is the answer to that? The Chachamim say we learn it from the word besadecha, from your field. The your field implies anything that's growing in your field. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda would counter that I need the word besadecha to teach us what Rabbi Bohu says. The pasuk is excluding the case where his bundles of grain floated, meaning fell into his neighbor's field. And now, for example, Rashi says, so now you have, let's say, they're on a stone, or on a pillar, or on top of other bundles of grain. Shikha does not apply to that. It's not the sadecha. Okay, for Rabbanan, what are the Rabbanan answer to that? They say, b'sadecha. They learn that because the pasuk could have said, tisikha tisikha b'sadecha. Because obviously, where else you're harvesting, it's not in your own field. And it says instead, sadcha, so you can learn both. You can learn that it has to be in your own field, and you can also learn that it applies also to the still standing grain which hasn't been reaped yet, which hasn't been harvested yet. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that I'm not learning anything from that extra line of the chaf. The sadeh besadcha is the same thing. It still belongs to you because, for one thing, it's only if it's a chotzer mishtamer. It's only if it would Kenyan chotzer would only be if the field has a fence around it where anything that's in it is going to stay there until the owner comes to get it.
That's
but besides that, that's talking about things in hefker. It's not talking about if you're thing. If you're playing ball in your backyard and your kids are playing ball in your backyard and it lands in somebody else's backyard, his chotzer is not current. Yeah. Further on this topic of shikha, so Rabbi Yirmi asks, what if the bundles of grain floated into his own field? So what does that mean? So Rashi says, same idea, but Sofu Oimel Sech Sadeh Havera, okay, actually doesn't mean necessarily, sorry, I looked at the wrong Rashi. Sofu Oimel Sech Sadeh Havera doesn't have to be on top of anything that's just in his neighbor's field. But since it says the Sadecha, then therefore it's not considered shikha, even though you forgot it, because it wasn't in your field. Now we're talking about a different case. Sadashi says they're in your field, but instead of being on the actual ground, they're on a rock or a pillar or on top of other grain. Yeah. Mahu, so what would be the din? Aver sadek is sadek dami, I love you. No, this is from his own sadek. Okay. That's because before we said l'sech sadek haver, I said, I guess, yeah. So my other sadeh is sadeh dami, I like a sadeh dami. Do we consider the airspace above the sadeh to be the equivalent of the sadeh? So therefore, just like if it was lying on the actual ground, it would be shikha. So also, if flying on a rock or whatever, I like a sadeh dami, or maybe not. That's one explanation of this is how Rashi explains it. Before we get to the halacha, the Rambam seems to understand the case differently. The case is not talking about where they landed on a rock or what have you, but just where they floated up into the air. They blew up into there was a strong wind and it blew them up into the air, and then they fell down. Do we consider that they weren't in Besodcha? They weren't Besodcha at that point. That's what we're asking. Is the airspace considered like the field or not? Why? Why do you have a question? You should be able to answer it based on what Rav Bo said in the name of Rav Elazar. He said that the pasuk is excluding from shikha the case where it fell into somebody else's field. It implies if it's your own field, then it's still shikha. Okay, the Gemara answers back, why? But the time is, why? According to your own logic, look at it this way. You're going to say, Tzafu ein menochen loy. You're going to say, I mean, the expression was, Tzafu l'sech tzech haveroi, that they floated into somebody else's field, that they're not lying on the actual field. You're going to say that doesn't apply if they're lying there in the field, on the actual ground.
That's what whatever means being said.
Tzafu means they floated. It's on something else, in other words, yes. So when you say Tzafu, it says Dechavera, it implies that you need both. You need it to be in somebody else's field and to be resting on something else, not to be considered Shikha. Munachim lo, you tell me that if it's lying on the actual ground in the other person's field, it wouldn't be Shikha. Of course it's not Shikha, but in the Sodcha, but like the fact is, the Pasuk said, it has to be the Sodcha in your field, and it's not. So obviously, Ella, so it has to be L'Sos Dechavera V'Afilu Munachin, so it has to be when we say that it fell into your neighbor's field, means even if it fell on the actual ground, why in Rabbo statement, why he used the word Sofu instead of Noflu, or what have you, because you're only going to find it in a case of tzafu. How does it wind up in the other guy's field? It must be the wind picked him up and then blew him over.
That's Lashon Tzafu,
yeah. So therefore, you can't prove from that that just because he mentioned Tzafu L'Sech Dechaveroi, maybe you're trying to say that excludes his own field. No, maybe Tzafu is the key thing over here. The fact that Tzafu, which is the only way for them to get into the neighbor's field, maybe indeed, once it's Tzafu, then it doesn't matter whether it's the neighbor's field or your own. Okay, Toshma, come let's try to prove it from a different source, a Braisa. The Braisa says, Oimer Shehechtik Boil Helichel here. If you have a bundle of grain that the owner took hold of it, intending to take it to the city, and then he put it on top of another bundle, v'shochay, and he forgot it. Atachten Shikha, the bottom one, which is still lying in the field, which he didn't pick up in the first place, is considered Shikha. The top one is not considered Shikha. Rav Shimon Yehuda and Rav Shimon Shimon, Shneim ain't Shikha. Rav Shimon Yehuda says, in the name of Rav Shimon, neither one is Shikha. Atachten of Neshu Tomlin, the bottom one is not Shikha because buried, hidden under the top one. And we said before that according to Rav Yehuda, we said that a buried stalk of stack of grain is not considered Shikha. Well, you make sure it's tough, and the top one is positive from Shikha because it's floating, it's not on the ground. So, Ad Kan Lepligiel Batachtin, so we see the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Yehuda are only arguing about the bottom one, whether it's Shikha or not, whether we say the bottom one is buried and therefore it's Shikha, or it's on the ground and therefore it is. Abba Elyon, Dirakaloy Abba Shikha. But evidently, everybody agrees the top one is not Shikha. Why? Lechoda, because it's on top of another one. So we see that if it's on top of another one, even in your own field, it wouldn't be Shikha. The answer is no. Shiny Hossam came to ask if Beis Achav. No, but the difference is, the reason the Mishnah had mentioned that he took hold of it to take it to the city. Once he took hold of it, he was Zeicha in it. He acquired it. Now, the fact that it has to be, in order for it to be Shikha, Rashi explains, it has to be Shachuach Ne'ikra. It has to be that not something that you remembered and later on you forgot, but something that you forgot to begin with. You bundled up this grain and then completely forgot about it. Not you grabbed a hold of it intending to take it someplace and then you put it down and forgot about it. Okay. Question is, fine, and in that case, why bother mentioning the case where you put it on top of another bundle? After the Sadanami, the same thing would apply also if you put it directly on the ground. And the answer is Ein Ochanami, that's true. V'haide Kotani Agav Chaveroi Mishum Tachten. The reason why we're mentioning the case about you put it on top of another one is because we want to discuss the case of what happens to the bottom one. We have a Tanakama and Rav Ben Yehuda to argue on that. But yes, you're right. The top one, it wouldn't really matter whether it's on top of another one or whether it's on the ground. Either way, it wouldn't be Shikha. Okay, V'hom if nature is soft karma. We said in the Braisa that the Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says, and evidently the Tanakhama doesn't disagree with that part, that the top one is putter because it's like soft, because it's like floating. Meaning, only because it's floating. So that, therefore, that proves that that's what makes it putter. Well, then the answer is, Amav Nishu Kitsof. The answer is, no. What the Braisa means is it's like the case of a floating one. Just like as if it was still floating on top of the ground, where it would be putter. The same thing over here, it's potter not because of the actual din of floating, because it is in fact on top of another one. You cannot necessarily with soft be potter, but because in this case, because you already grabbed a hold of it and you were zocheh in it. Omer Abaya, one time Abaya said, Hareini ki ben azeh b'shukit Tveria. I am like ben azeh in the marketplace of Tveria. Meaning Rashi says one day he was feeling particularly clear-headed. So he said, here I'm in Pumbedisa, I'm as ready and able to answer even people's deep, complicated questions as much as Ben Azai was in his time. There's a few places in Shas where Abai uses that expression. So Omalei Ahumu Drabanan Abai, so one of the Rabbanan comes with a shtaker kashna. Shnei chalalim, zeh al gabei zeh. What if you have two dead bodies, returning now to Egla Rofa, if you have two dead bodies, one on top of the other one, mehechen umoided. Which one do you measure from? Now let's say, in other words, you're talking about they're not, later on in other days we'll have a machloikas, where exactly you measure from. The halacha ends up being you measure from the nose to see which is the course of the city. So let's say you have one body is here, one body is here, one's nose is over here, one's nose is over here. Which one do you measure from? Do we say min b'minay have a tamun? Do we say that because they're two bodies, they're both considered the same species, therefore we say one is considered buried under the other one, just like we said with the bundles of rain? But min b'minay loy have soft, but we would not say that the second one, that the top one is considered soft. It's still considered like it's on the ground. The other one is not a chatzitza between it and the ground, basically. And therefore me'elyon moded. Therefore you'd measure from the top one. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe we would say the top one is considered soft, therefore no eglah rofa for that one. The on the other hand, you don't say the bottom one is not considered tamun because it's underneath the top one. Only tachton moded, therefore you'd measure from the bottom one and bring an eglah rofa on that basis. Maybe both things apply. The bottom one is considered tamun, the top one is considered soft. V'loy metachton moded, v'loy me'elyon moded. So then you're not going to measure from either one. No eglah rofa at all. And Rashi points out, I mean, you could have asked the fourth possibility also. Maybe it's not Tomun and not Soft. Maybe you have to bring Eglah Rofus for both of them. But okay, once it asks the three sides, we automatically know there's a fourth possibility also. You're not saying that you do one Eglah Rofus for both of them. They'd have to do a separate measurement for each one, and then have to do a separate measurement for each one, and they'd have to bring a separate Eglah Rofus if it comes out of two different cities. Amalei. So Abaye answers him, Chinisua. Well, we see what we learned in the Mishnah. That we said before, in the Braisa, that we said before, Omer Shehefik Lola Lichel here, if you have a bundle of grain that you grabbed a hold of to take to the city, V'nicha Agava Chavere, and you put it on top of another bundle, V'shachay, and then you forgot it, Hatach Ten Shikha Va'ayin and Shikha, we said according to the Tanakhama, the bottom one is Shikha, the top one is not, Shimon Yehuda, Shimon Shnei, Main and Shikha, neither one is Shikha, Hatach Ten Mepnesho Tomen, the bottom one is not Shikha, because it's buried, and according to the Yehuda, a buried one is not considered Shikha. The onion measure is soft, and the top one, because it's soft, it's not on the surface. So, Savorua, now how does that relate to this? The Rabbanan assumed, how are we using that to answer the question? Dehani Tanoi to Rabbi Yehuda Spirohu, that both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon both agree with Rabbi Yehuda that when the Pasuk says, Basada, or Shachakta Oimah Basada, it means not if it's buried. Basada has to mean on the surface of the field, and therefore, my lab Bahaka Mitzvah, so wouldn't that be the Machlokan? The Marasava Minba Minna Havatamun. Rav Shimon holds that even though they're both the same species, they're both bundles of grain, nevertheless, the bottom one is considered Tamun. And the Tanakhama says that it's not Tomun, and therefore the bottom one is Shikha. And therefore that would answer our question. It would be Machlokas Tanoim. The answer is, Lo. each of Yehuda Sevira Lahu. No, if the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Ben Yehuda both hold like Rav Yehuda, Jekulam Amin Bimin have a Tumun, then we would have to say everybody would agree that even if it's under something of the same kind, it is considered Tumun. So one body on top of another, one bundle of grain on top of another. B'hacha b'tzuk Rav Yehuda Rabban from Bifugi. So no, the machlokas between the Tanoim in the case of Shicha is actually the same machlokas as Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim in general about whether Tumun is excluded from Shicha or not. The Rabbanon of this last Braisa, go like the Rabbanon of the original Braisa, that even Tamun is considered Shikha, so therefore even though it's buried under the other one, it's still considered Shikha. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda would hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that Tamun is not subject to Shikha, therefore over here with the two bundles of grain, it's not. If that's the case, if that's the whole Machlokas, then why bother mentioning the case when you have one bundle on top of another? I feel the author of Astronomy. Wouldn't the same thing apply even if you have one of them is buried in dirt or in pebbles? The answer is Enochanami, that is true. The reason why the Braisa puts the Machlokas this way is that with the two bundles, is to tell us even Rabbi Yehuda, how far Rabbi Yehuda goes when he says that Tumun is part of Shikha, it means even if it's under another bundle. Not. Of course he would say that if it's buried under dirt or pebbles or what have you, but even if it's just under another, even if it's just under another bundle. Turn it up on him. We learn it up, right? So the pasuk says cholol, that you find a body, and cholol usually means, Rashi says the word cholol basically means that it's killed with a sword. So therefore, v'loy chonu. So it comes to exclude the case where you find a body that was strangled. Cholol, you also... Women both, how was it killed? There's cause of death.
Strangled, and then
okay, I don't know. Then in that case. The Me'iri says, a logical reason behind this, because if it's chonu, not necessarily did anybody do it. It might have happened by accident. If the person was stabbed with a sword and killed, had his head chopped, but come on, then you'd find the sword nearby. Then you find the sword nearby. But like this, if it's done by a sword, obviously somebody had to have done it. Okay, cholol v'loy mefarfer. Also, the word cholol implies that he's actually dead, not that he's still moving around. And ba'adama. And ba'adama means, as we said in the Mishnah, v'loy tomun v'gal, not if he's buried in a pile of dirt or rocks or whatever. Nofel falling v'loy toli v'ilam, not hanging on a tree. V'sada v'loy tzalf af me'amayim. V'sada meaning not floating on the water, or as we just said, on anything else. Rav Lozaimer, the kulan imhaya cholol orphan. Rav Lozaimer says, no, doesn't matter. As long as it's a cholol, as long as the person was killed by a sword, then you do the ezra arufa. Even if it's hanging on a tree, even if it's buried, etc. Tanya, Amar Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. So they argue to Rav Yehuda. Look, iyata moida shimhaya chonok umuta ba'ash bashein orphan. Don't you agree that if the body was found strangled and lying in the garbage heap, that you would not do ezra arufa for that? So then, now it's not soft, it's not tomor, it's not tolu, and there's still no egla arufa, because you agree that you need cholo, you agree that it needs to be somebody killed by the sword. Alma cholo v'lechonu, so you see the word cholo means specifically killed by the sword, not, for example, strangled. Hachanari ba'adama v'lechonu v'gal nofa v'lechonu v'ilim v'sada v'lechonu v'agavimayim. Why are you saying, why are you focusing on the word cholo and saying only a cholo, but ignoring the word ba'adama? So what does Rabbi Yezir answer that? He says, cholo yisevik. That's true, but it says an extra time in the pasuk the word cholo. It says several extra times, but out of those times when it says cholo in the pasuk, whatever, there's several psukim over there that mention the word cholo. One of them, Rabbi Yezir gavishens to say that it means that Gavka has to be a cholo. But it only says once Ba'adama, therefore he can say that the Torah doesn't mean that it has to Gavka be Ba'adama. Okay. We have another minute or two? Yeah. Mishnah said nimtza samach l'tzar el ir. No, I haven't yet. Nimtza samach l'ir, nimtza samach l'tzar el ir. We said if you find the body near the border or near a city that's mostly goyim, then you don't do an egla arufa d'chdiv, because the pasuk says ki yimotzei krakam motzei. It says if you find it, implying as opposed to something which is very common. Near the border, it's very common for people to get killed. Near a goyish city, it's very common for people to get killed. Okay.